And so I was reading some previous articles that people had done about you, interviewing you, and it had said that you knew Bob, who's the high school teacher, for about
Yeah.
25 years
Probably almost
prior.
30, yeah.
How did you first meet him? I know it had something to do with film.
Bob was a producer years and years ago before he kind of took on this next life. So Bob and I worked on some film projects when I first got out of school. So that's how I met Bob. And then he, decided this wasn't really the road for him. And I decided it was the road for me.
Yeah.
So we kind of went on separate paths. But we've always stayed in touch. I mean, he's a really great guy, so we've known each other forever. I was just on the phone with him actually in the lobby.
Has he seen
Oh
the film?
yeah. He's been involved, hand in hand with me on the film. So yeah, he's seen every bit of it.
What were his thoughts when you initially approached him with the idea?
He was reticent, I mean, to be frank. I mean, because adding a camera to an environment like that was gonna, he felt like it might change the dynamic, and this is a very private kind of experience, a very gentle, personal kind of experience. And so it took us a little while to kind of figure out how we were going to do this in a way that didn't impact the kids or the hospice care providers in the houses in a negative way. So it took about 4 or 5 years, I'd guess, to really get Bob to say yes. And we started by just being present in the classroom and being in the comfort care homes for about 3 or 4 months. We did that.
With or without cameras?
In the classroom, I had my camera with me all the time, whether I shot or not, really. I just kind of was hanging out. And then in the comfort care houses, we spent a lot of time just being there because there were a lot of volunteers and other people who kind of needed to know who we were and, have a private conversation about what our agenda was and just get a sense that, I mean, we'd already gotten permission from on high, but they needed to feel like they were comfortable with us being there and that they were safe and the people were safe. And so we just spent a lot of time doing that.
Were there any families or were there any high school students who opted out of wanting to be in
There
the film?
were about half the families opted out, sure, yeah. I mean, there was, they were having some difficult times for some people. It was very uncomfortable, losing a loved one. But about half the families were more than happy to have us there, and it actually really embraced the idea that this was going to be documented because they saw the hospice care experience for their family as such a warm, embracing, and great experience. They wanted other people to have a chance to see this. And most of the families really didn't know anything about hospice, or not much about hospice until suddenly they needed it. And then they were kind of immersed in it very quickly. And so, yeah, they were, they, I mean, I could think about like 3 or 4 families who really embraced this and were calling me, and that was great.
And I had also read in a previous article too about your experiences with hospice that you had told one reporter about. You had very limited experience with hospice care, but that you had friends who
Sure.
had been in hospice with AIDS, and I believe Isaiah House was the hospice care that you had mentioned.
Right.
And can you talk a little bit about your
Well, I
experiences
mean,
with?
being gay man living, through the 1980s, it's kind of hard not to have had, a lot of experiences with HIV/AIDS, and we lost a lot of our friends. And early on, it was just, it was a very different time than it is now. I think for young people to kind of understand the dynamics of those times when there was so much fear and so much anger on all sides, that there were a lot of people who wanted nothing to do with AIDS patients. And so, we had friends in the city who were dying in the hallways of hospitals and so forth, completely abandoned by family. I mean, and those stories, you hear those stories all the time. So, yeah, Isaiah House was, one of those kind of exceptional places that made no distinction, and so they welcomed people, and I thought that was brilliant. And it's been always in sort of in retrospect that I look back on that time and think, oh, I have to sort of pay homage to that in some way, and so this is in some small way, this is like, giving something back.
Is Isaiah House located in upstate New York?
Yeah, it's one of the houses that we worked in.
Okay, that's what I thought. All right,
Yeah.
cool. Yeah. And two, how long had Bob been teaching this class prior to you coming in?
Oh, I mean, he taught it at two schools, so he was 10 years at the school that I was at, total, and then 3 years prior to that, teaching at another school, so 13 years.
13 years.
I think that's right. I mean, I may be wrong by a year or two, but
But around that
yeah, it's
time.
around that much, yeah.
And how did he get this idea?
Well,
When
Bob
you
had done,
told
comfort
you.
care work, and he had been working, in ambulance work. I mean, he does a lot of different things. And as an English teacher, he had this group of kids. Well, let me back up. When he initially started this, it was with a group of students at a different school who were special needs students. And he wanted to find a way to give them a chance to do something where they were empowered and they felt confident and they felt like they had skills. And so he decided to try this project out, and it worked out really wonderfully for these students. So that's how it kind of started and evolved. And certainly, you know, Bob would be a better person to ask those questions of, you know, than me. That's kind of what I gleaned from what Bob has told me, how this all sort of evolved.
Okay. And yeah, I mean, I'm sure, again, this question might be best suited for Bob, but if he had mentioned to you about some of the difficulties of, I would assume, school districts, at least I can't imagine my high school in Podunk, Texas, saying, yes, I'm all for this class idea. This is great. That did he mention anything about having difficulties?
I mean, that's a great question. I think, yeah, he definitely. I mean, it's always been the parents and the kind of academic, you know, staff that have had issues with this. The adults that have had most of the issues with this. That maybe, you know, this is like a hard issue for our kids, or they're not ready, or, you know, why would you want to do something like this in your senior year? And it's all like it's just like the wrong end of the story. You know, this is not sad and complicated. I mean, it is complicated, but it's not sad and desperate. This is empowering. I mean, when young people get a chance to do this and be connected to somebody in a way that allows them to really care for somebody without the idea that I'm going to do this and get something in return, that this is, you know, I'm doing this and this is just for you. That is a real gift, and it's not so much a gift to the person who's in the bed. It's a gift back.
Yeah.
It's what you get back out of having this experience that's been so profound. And every student said that, you know, that, wow, it was just so extraordinary to know that I could be skilled, that, you know, that what I did was right. Because they were all afraid. I mean, everybody's afraid of hurting somebody or doing something wrong. So, yeah, the students get it, I think, pretty readily, because they're inside the experience. The parents are always a little concerned, sure. And I think that's one of the reasons we made this film, is to say, you know, this don't be frightened of this. You know, this is something that we need to embrace. This is like part of who we are as people. You know, this whole like kind of circle of life, cutting off that last piece hurts everybody. So, you know, be connected to it.
And how did you prepare yourself? Because I know I would have to prepare emotionally before getting involved with a project like this. Did you have to go through any sort of personal preparation before making this film?
Not really. I mean, my associate producer had taken this class, so she kind of, you know, knew what this was about. But I just sort of followed the students. You know, I kind of did this along with them. I didn't. There was nothing special.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just kind of, you know, walked the same road that they walked. And came out the same, you know, in the same way that they came out, kind of feeling like this was a real blessing to do, and, you know, something that we all should get a chance to do.
I would just be afraid that I would initially be crying in front of patients, and that's not—I don't think that's healthy for them to see. I would just have to, like, okay, I can't cry in front of.
That's not atypical. I mean, all the students. Their first kind of expressions are those of concern for the patient, that somehow they'll do something wrong. And the point is, you can't do anything wrong. I mean, you can't. You know, if that's where you are and you're going to cry, you know, you'll figure it out. You won't cry, though, because it's primarily a pretty joyful experience. You know, you'll have sad times, but you'll find the strength. You know, you'll find that you've got the skill. You really have the skill. You just need to get a chance to use it. I like to say that, you know, this is like one of those things where it's a seed that's in all of us. You just need a little bit of opportunity to have it grow, a little, like, you know, a little water on it, a little sunlight on it, and we all are built to do this. This is in our DNA. You know, Bob says that. You know, this is just part of who we are as people. Given the chance, you will find that you are empathetic and caring, and that this is your gift, and it's all of our gift.
I know, I had read a quote, and you had said that empathy is in our DNA, mm-hmm. And I really liked that quote.
Well, I stole it from Bob.
Like, well, Bob, it's a good quote, yes. And that would be one thing, too, that I would think of, that it's difficult sometimes, and maybe it might just be my age, but to think that people are genuinely good, and that we do come in with good intentions. And I think that this has helped me see that, especially young people, high school students, that they're not all just self-absorbed or on their cell phone texting the whole time. And so,
it doesn't mitigate that. No. You can be all those things and be completely self-absorbed and be all that, and you still have this. I mean, you can be the age you're going to be. I mean, high school students are who they're going to be. You know, they are that age. That's where they are developmentally. You know, all that stuff. But that doesn't mean you can't do brilliantly at this if you're given a chance. I think one of the things is that's important about this is the idea of human contact, touch. That, you know, once you touch somebody and you're compassionate with them, you connect with them emotionally in a different way. And that changes everything. And as soon as, you know, the students got that opportunity, where it was beyond just like, you know, lifting them up, but just being present for people, that's when the experience really took hold. And they realized that they can't do damage here. You know, all they can do is be good. And being present for somebody is enough. That is interesting too, the idea of just being present, that you can just sit and be, and it's okay, and it's actually valuable, that you don't have to be busy.
And you don't have to be chatting with someone on Facebook or the internet interaction with people. That's a completely different
feel. People know you're there, and if you're present, if you're truly present, they'll know it. And that's what this gave these students. And it became a place where they would go as kind of a place to decompress from the rest of the complicated part of their life.
See, like that's interesting to me.
Getting to college and doing all the testing and figuring out their own social kind of dynamic. I mean, all that stuff is very stressful. And this became a place where they could go and be separated from that. And, you know, it was empowering and it rejuvenated the batteries. I didn't know that was going to be part of what the story was about, but that's what it was.
Do you still stay in contact with, I mean, any of the high school students?
Oh, yeah, who are now they're all my Facebook friends.
Any Facebook friends?
Yeah, I had to, like, get sort of acclimated to Facebook and texting and so forth, because that's not really... But luckily, Ashley, who's my associate producer, she's really good at all that, and she manages a lot of that, because I am kind of, you know, I'm not very good at that.
So has any of the high school students that are in your documentary who are now college or doing their own thing... Mm-hmm. Has going through this class kind of changed their career perspective or their career goals? Has anyone decided, I want to be a nurse, for instance, or go into hospice care? Or,
I'm not sure if it's done that. And I think what it has done is it's made them be, like, really aware of the importance of being present, of making decisions that feel right to them, and having a life path that is more than just a career path. So I think in that way, I think most everybody has been changed. But, you know, people will be what they want to be. I mean, there are kids who are going to be business people and accountants and lawyers and doctors and, you know, plumbers and so on and so forth. Those things are... But I think the way they go to their work, the way they see the world, the way they connect with their family and friends and the people that matter to them, that's shifted. And that's where this is really valuable.
Definitely. Yeah, and that's more important than changing your mind about a specific career path, definitely.
Yeah, I think some of them may have, you know, because they were going down a road that was all about, you know, kind of, you know, money and they realized at the end of life, that's not what people talk about. Never, ever, ever did I see anyone talk about that.
And that's what really got me was that the no one mentioning about the kind of car that they had or that house they had. It was the people that they loved and the people that loved them.
Right.
That's what I was
like. Ooh. Or their pets.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, all that stuff, it's all that sort of connectedness that people really care about and want to pass on. You know, if they're going to pass on their story, it's the story of that. It's not the story of their successes.
And how long were you filming in total?
2 years. We spent about 2.5 years in the project. We're probably into our third year now-ish. I don't know. Ashley probably knows better than that. But, 2 years we filmed. So we did two senior classes. And then we combined them as kind of one amalgam of film.
Did you go into filming knowing that you were going to be combining
no.
two different...
No, we thought we'd be done in the first year, but we were just having such a good time. you know, doing this, and there was, it was just, you know, such a great experience, and we didn't have to be done.
Yeah.
So we thought, let's keep going. Let's see where else we can take this. And the first year, we didn't have the students have cameras, and that became really important. So we did that the second year, and that really opened another set of doors for us that we hadn't opened the first year, so that was kind of fun for us. So, yeah.
And what were some of the high school students' reactions after they saw the documentary for the first time? Have many of them seen?
Yeah, a lot of them have. I mean, we did a showing for them, and they, you know, they just, they loved it. I mean, obviously they were, like, concerned about being pimply or, you know, all the things that, you know, I was like, oh, that's awfully close, you know. But on the whole, I think that they really loved the message, and it was true to their story, and that was what's important to me, that we'd have an honest, you know, expression of what their experience was, that we didn't make it saccharine or overly sentimental, but just to make an honest kind of expression of what they saw and what happened with them and what this experience meant in the end. So I think they were pretty happy. I mean, I don't want to speak for them, but I think they were.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't tell me that they were miserable about it, but I'm okay.
Oh, that's good. And I know, too, in another article I had read that you, I think the reporter had asked the question about why premiered at South By, and that I believe you gave the number about, it was just insane numbers of submissions that this year at South By, and that, you know, excited about the film being chosen.
Sure.
Out of all these numbers. But could you elaborate on why this festival in particular?
Well, I mean, it's one of the, you know, the sort of premier festivals in the U.S., so we're thrilled to be here, right? And it's a good cross-section of people, and that's important to us. We didn't want this film to get kind of pigeonholed, so we want a lot of different people to see it and get opportunities to, you know, connect with this film, so this is a great opportunity for that to happen. And it's a lot of fun. I mean, this is a really fun festival to be at because you get to be with a lot of filmmakers and a lot of different kinds of people working from different, very different perspectives. So that makes it fun for us. So there's a lot of reasons why we're happy to be here. Yeah, I mean, I think the number was like, there's a lot of films. Like, you know,
like 800 and something, I think. Like the
right, it was a huge number. I mean, I can't imagine how they do that, really. But, I mean, you know.
Somebody has to.
Yeah, right. But we're very, very pleased, obviously.